Together we all take a very deep breath. We close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same beautiful golden light. And we're here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. To Him we devote our time spent together tonight and all of our relationships to one another. We ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within us, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and all of our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. The subject that I'd like to discuss with you tonight has to do with letting go. Most of us carry baggage that we don't need, that burdens us, that weighs us down. It makes us old because it's an accumulation of thought forms without which we would travel through life more lightly. Journey light, travel lightly, A Course in Miracles tells us. There is an idea which is not just in A Course in Miracles, but which is in a lot of spiritual source material, which has to do with the idea of traveling without a shadow, that you leave no trace of yourself as you go. But the only way that we can travel through life leaving no trace of ourselves is if we travel sparsely. But what usually happens is that we like to take from life because we think that something we're going to take from life makes us valuable. And what you begin to understand is that there are all kinds of materialism. I know some people who think of themselves as very non-materialistic, who are just as materialistic as anybody else, because with them it's not about material objects. But real materialism has to do with any over-attachment to the material world. So if you have an attachment to a job, or you have an attachment to a relationship, if you have an attachment to a title, you have an attachment to somebody's opinion of you, you have attachment to someone's approval, you have attachment to anything that has to do with the storyline, the physical world, and who said what and who did what, any attachment to the material world is a form of materialism. Some people aren't materialistic about money, but they're materialistic emotionally. They're materialistic psychologically. And all of that simply, not because we're bad, but because we're scared. Because very few of us were taught as children that we're abundant already. You know, it's like when we were talking in the second half, even last Tuesday night, about relationships and the difference between a special relationship and a holy relationship. A special relationship, and the Course uses the word special. Special is not a good word in the Course. It means something dysfunctional. It's the notion that I don't have enough, but maybe I could find a person, and if they were with me, then I'd be enough. But we can have a special relationship with a job, a profession, all kinds of things we can have a special relationship with. It comes from a perception of lack. I'm not enough, but if I have that, maybe I'll be enough. And once again, it's so important to remember that our neuroses are our wounds, because how many of us were taught as children, you're good. You're good whether you clean up your room or not. You're good whether you make good grades or not. Very few of us were told that you're just essentially good. You're complete already. We were told you'll be complete if you win the prize. You'll be complete if you get good grades. You'll be complete if you make mommy happy or daddy happy. You're always struggling to be good enough, which is a radically different self-perception than I don't have to do anything to be better, to be good enough. Now, a holy relationship with another person, as we were talking about last week, has to do, the Course in Miracles says, with someone looking inside and seeing no lack. So that you don't join with a person or anything else thinking, I don't have enough, but if I have your approval, I'll be enough. If I have that job, I'll be enough. If I have that person, I'll be enough. But rather, in the holy relationship, it's like a perception that we are already complete. We are already abundant. So we keep trying to compensate for our perception of lack. But then the problem is that no matter what we get, instead of making us feel more abundant, because our perception is still that we lack, we will continue to recreate the conditions of lack. And the problem then becomes that as we move along, we keep trying to accumulate the things that we think would make us good enough, whether it's the relationship or the career or the whatever. We're trying to accumulate all these things because if I get enough of them on the page, and that'll mean I must be somebody, right? Whether it's stuff in my career or stuff in my relationships, I have all these, like after my name, there's a comma. And I must be somebody because they're whatever they say after, right? So I must be enough. Well, the problem is we are diminished to the extent that we seek something to fulfill us. We are not made more by the things of the world, but actually we are diminished to the extent that we try to get anything of the world to come surround us, to be something behind which we can hide. And that's because it's a compromise with our truth. It's a delusional relationship to the world. So what the universe, being on our side, is always doing is that it's always trying to take these things away from us. And we don't understand because we thought God loved us. Right? And so what this is a process, the Course in Miracles says, it's a process of disillusionment. Oh, I'm so illusioned. I thought that person was going to be everything for me. Oh, I'm so disillusioned because I thought that that would work and then it didn't. And we think the universe is not merciful. But then the Course in Miracles says, don't you get it? You were disillusioned. It was an illusion to begin with. None of those forms of things define you. And to the extent that we are seeking to hide behind anything, the universe will not support that because the universe, the way God created the universe, is here to support our growth. So when we seek to hide behind anything, the universe will not support that. The universe is going to bust us. And then we think, not only do I not have those things, but I also have a universe that apparently is breaking. No matter how hard I try, the universe is taking these things from me. And so then it makes us feel that maybe God isn't on my side. Maybe God isn't on my side. I've worked so hard, and look how this is crashing to the ground. But the Course in Miracles says that it is God's job to show you that you don't need anything. You don't need anyone, anything, any form of anything in order to be a complete person. So there's this thing going on psychologically in us where on one hand, everything's crashing, but on the other hand, we're so afraid. And so our thought is, well, if this relationship didn't work, then I have to get another one. Or if this job didn't work, I have to get another one. I have to have things that define me. And if I don't have things that define me, the pain will be so great. Because what do we do with relationships? What do we do with jobs? What do we do with work? We all know it. We hide there. We would rather be there than feel our feelings. There are all different ways you can say it, but that's basically it. Because of this major despair that we're all so afraid of feeling, if you just have the time to feel it and you have the space to feel it. So once again, we keep trying to fill in the spaces of our lives so that we won't have to feel those horrible feelings, and yet all those things we're trying to get to fill us up because we're not in right relationship even having them there to begin with, since we're really trying to use them to cover up our sense of loneliness. The universe doesn't support it, so we're even doubly desperate because we're mourning for these things that are leaving. Now, in A Course in Miracles, there are so many ways in which we're given a radically different perception of what's going on in all this. So what the Course in Miracles says is, look, these things aren't being taken away from you. You're merely being forced to see their lack of value. It's not that the relationship was taken away and you're having to learn this horrible lesson of letting go. It's because God loves you that these things are crumbling around you. And any form, no matter how wonderful it might be, whether it's a form of relationship or job or career or whatever, is only there to serve your highest growth and your highest beingness. And whereas we, from the ego viewpoint, concentrate on more on form than on content, God concentrates on content and wants the forms of our lives to be very, very light. So what happens is that the forms, when they are led by the Holy Spirit, the form of a relationship, the form of a job, whatever, the Holy Spirit, the Course in Miracles, would indicate just wants things to come up in order to support us in a perfect way of being. But when the form has outlived its usefulness, the universe wants it to go. So it falls apart. And we go, oh, it fell apart. And we have the, quote, the pain of letting go. Because we have, by that time, attached ourselves to whatever it was. We were hiding behind it. So often we feel like, I can't live without that form of that relationship. I can't live without that job. I'll be embarrassed without this, or whatever it is. I'll be lonely without this. And so it's very difficult for us to let go the forms of things, the phases of life. We hide and we attach, and we are so afraid of letting the changes occur in life that have got to occur in the world of form in order that the world of form might best support our growth as beings. And in the Course in Miracles, we're taught that in this growth into who we are as beings, it's always a growth deeper and deeper into the realization that we don't need anything. You don't have to have anything to be a complete person. So that's major, like, whoa, how different that is. You don't need anything. You don't need, you know, if you go to one more lecture or read one more book or one more seminar, spiritual, psychological growth, all this stuff, isn't so that then you will become a more complete person. Spiritual and psychological growth is about you realizing more and more that you already are a complete person. And that's what it means to integrate all that you ever find in spiritual or psychological growth is stuff that was already there. It was just hidden. It wasn't allowed into your conscious awareness. That's what it means to become conscious. When you become conscious, as we become more conscious, it's not like there's something out there and all of a sudden it comes in. It's something in here that all of a sudden we let out. Oh, I'm willing to look at that. It's already in there. So the acceptance that we're complete people, there's nothing that can be contributed to you to make you more. I mean, nothing can make you more. You are more. And all that, the universal experience, all the three-dimensional experiences, the Course in Miracles would indicate, is three-dimensional reality, which only exists to show you your thoughts, is simply demonstrating to you that obviously you don't think you're everything. That's the only problem, is that you don't think you're everything. And because you don't think you're everything, you keep trying to get more. But because your search is based on the belief that you aren't more, there's no way it's going to work, and those things are going to continue to fall apart, and your life is desperate, and you think that's mysterious. Right? So the acceptance of God, you know, this whole business of acceptance of Jesus as personal Savior, all this stuff, when you see all that stuff from the enlightened perspective, the acceptance of the Christ is personal salvation. Because acceptance of Christ really means a new self-perception. Acceptance of Christ means I accept that there is within me one who's already made it. It's already done. My enlightened self exists. It's in the computer. I just haven't pressed that button. But the file exists. It was created by God. And that button, whether it's, you know, you call it God or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Power or the Christ or Jesus, there's so many words for it. The words are so irrelevant. The notion that there is within us already existing the perfected one. Nothing out there is going to make us more perfect. The file already exists. The file doesn't have to be added to. And the truth of the matter is, the more we are clinging to anything outside of ourselves, because we think we need it in order to be more perfect, actually perpetuates the myth and perpetuates the delusion that we're not enough already. And so that's why the universe, the psyche, continues to recreate these experiences where it seems like once again we're having to let go. Once again, oh, I thought I had something I could hold on to. And once again, I have to let go. And yet the Course in Miracles says, as I was saying before, this is a gift to us. Because the universe is not going to support our holding on to baggage, or holding on to suitcases, or holding on to anything that keeps us from a pure experience of ourselves at our lightest. Ourselves at our lightest. And it doesn't mean, you know, it's like, would an enlightened person not live in a big house? No, an enlightened person could live in a big house. It has nothing to do with the material things around you. But the enlightened person would not be attached to their big house. And like I said, some poor people I know are every bit as much as attached to the things of this world as rich people. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with orientation towards the human storyline. You know, everything just has to do with what context are you willing to hold for yourself. Because if you'll hold a certain context, then that's how creation occurs. Because creation occurs on the level of awareness. Creation occurs on the level of consciousness. That's why the biggest change, you know, the Course in Miracles says, the greatest capacity, the greatest power that God has given you is your power to change your mind. And the Course says that all of our problems stem from our not knowing who we are. So our greatest gift is that we get that it so doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter who lives in the physical realm and who passes on to the non-physical. It doesn't matter whether we have money or not have money. It doesn't matter whether we are in relationship or we're not in relationship, because you're always in relationship. All these things that completely take our emotions and throw them around and make us go up and down in every which way because we think that these things are so important. The Course in Miracles says that when we get so crazy about things that are happening in our physical lives, in those moments we have by definition forgotten who we are. We're thinking in those moments that we're beings of this world, because only a being of this world really is affected one way or another by any of this stuff that goes down. And the challenge and the spiritual work at every moment has to do with recognizing this is happening in a realm that isn't my reality. This is the dream. This is not the reality. Who said what and who did what and what's happening and what's going to happen and all that stuff. It's like a dream. That's the dream. That's not the real world. What about living in the real world? What the Course in Miracles says, what we call the real world, is an unreal world. It's the most intricate system of shared hallucinations. Literally, the Course in Miracles says, it's an hallucination. It's a dream that we're all having. And we all believe it. Now, our real self is watching from somewhere else. In the Eastern religions, they talk a lot about the witness mentality. There's something in us, the Course in Miracles says, that is looking at all this and saying, why are you driving yourself crazy over this? Why are you doing this to yourself? And what we begin to understand is, because it's the same question is, if 8 good things happened today and 1 bad thing happened today, what are you thinking about now? So why is it? Why is it that we choose to focus on the negative thing that happened today? Why do we choose to focus on the negative thing? You know why, the Course in Miracles said? Because we want to. That's our commitment. Our commitment is not to joy. We're not. How many people in this room can really say, I'm committed to joy in my life? Good for you. Good for you. I'm impressed. But the vast, vast majority of people did not raise your hands. Because most of us do not say, I'm committed to joy. I'm committed to focusing on the good things. I'm committed to being grateful to what is. I'm committed to appreciating the abundance in my life so I can have more of it. Most of us, on some level or another, even unconsciously based on how we were brought up or whatever, in one way or another, are committed to pain. We're committed to focus on what goes on in the world, and focus on what goes on in the world, the Course in Miracles says, well, all it is a commitment to pain. And so all the letting go that we're being asked to do, when the Course in Miracles says, I will not value what is valueless. The world I see holds nothing that I want. The Course in Miracles says, the only thing you're being asked to let go of when you let go of the things of this world is pain. And that doesn't mean you're being asked to let go things. You're being asked to let go your attachment to things, which is a very different thing. And then when we're not attached to whatever those things are, they come if they support the internal growth, and then they go. And I've seen, God, I see so much in my life where the areas of life where I'm attached are not the areas of life that flow freely. I've seen that over and over again. If I'm attached to what happens and it's really got to be a certain way, those are not the areas where there's just this free flow of abundance and happiness and joy. But the areas of life where, oh, I have to, it has to be a certain way, and I really want it to be a certain way, and I got to make it be a certain way, those are not the areas in my life that have just flowed. In the areas of my life, it goes up, it goes down. If in the areas of life where I've seen how if I get really upset when I don't have what I wanted, and I think, oh, what am I going to do because it went down, it's not so good, that keeps life from coming back around. But if you can see life as a cycle of things, things go up, things go down, things just happen, cycles, yeah, it's one cycle, it'll be another cycle. I've watched it, those cycles just keep on going. It goes down, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up. But I've also seen, and all of that is, the ego mind is the mind that grasps. It's the mind that clutches. It's the mind that clings. Please let me have this. Because without this, we feel like we'll die. This defines me. I need this. I need this work or this relationship or this money or this whatever it is, this approval. I want them to understand. That was a big one. I remember when I read that book, Codependent No More, one thing I got out of the book that was more than anything else was when she says the codependent wants them to understand, right? And all that is just different areas in which you want the world to be a certain way so that you'll be okay. And the Course in Miracles says that what you've got to give up, you know, it's like somebody once said to me something along that line of that kind of stuff, that the issue is not to get to a point where nobody will say anything about you that is unkind or unfair or untrue. The point of enlightenment will be when you don't care. That's the great, there's an enlightened position in life where we just let the world do what the world is going to do. Now, that's a real, I say it's a difficult place. In some areas, I, just like you, we have different parts of our lives. And in some areas in life, I can see very clearly, I can just let the world do what it's going to do. Other areas in life where it's not so easy for me to just let the world do what it's going to do. But like I said before, the areas of life where I'm willing to just let the world do what it's going to do, everything is much better. But that's so different. And then you say, well, I can't just let the world do what it's going to do. I've got to do something about this. The great illusion of footwork. I got to do the footwork. You know, I mean, listen, if you live in a major city in America, if you live within this culture, it's very clear to you that just because you're running doesn't mean you're not running around in circles. Just because you get in your car and went somewhere doesn't mean you got anywhere. Right? Just doing doesn't necessarily help situations anyway. That's why the Course in Miracles says the highest level of consciousness is where we realize we don't do anything. It's not our doingness that heals our lives. It's our consciousness that heals our lives. Because when we get that the pearl worth having, the prize worth having, has nothing to do with what goes down outside anyway, then all of a sudden, our goal changes in life. Instead of saying, I have a goal of money, I have a goal of relationship, I have a goal of success, I have a goal of all these things, that's how Americans live. We have this goal of these things that we think would make us happy. And the Course in Miracles says, wait a minute, why don't you just make your goal being happy? Why don't you just make your goal being happy? And make that your commitment, because otherwise you're saying, I will be happy when. Doesn't everybody in this room have that on some level? I will be happy when. I will be happy when. I will be happy when they change. Right? I will be happy when they see it the way I want them to see it. I will be happy when I get the job. I will be happy when I launch this project. I will be happy when the check comes. Right? I will be happy when they out of this relationship. I'll be happy when I get into that relationship. I'll be happy when I meet a certain kind of person. I'll be happy when. I mean, is there anybody who doesn't have I'll be happy when? We all have these I'll be happy wins. And all of this is just these ways in which we think there's something that's going to make us happy when A Course in Miracles says the only key, the only experience of happiness stems from our decision to be happy. And our decision to be happy can only come from the realization that there is nothing that can be added onto my life right now that could make it any better. This is it. And you go, oh, no. And that is the despair that we want to avoid. Oh, this can't be it because I don't think there's enough here. And that's why we're so afraid that if other people really got to know us, they wouldn't think enough is here. But they wouldn't think. Nobody's going to think you're enough if you don't think you're enough. I've said it so many times, that revelation about it. Somebody, I said, how can I blame him for not wanting to spend the evening with me? I don't want to spend the evening with me. If you don't think you're enough, how can anybody else think you're enough? All that anybody else is doing is reflecting back to you how you see things. So if you don't think that your life is interesting, how can anybody else think your life is interesting? Abundance isn't something we get from out there. Abundance is something that flows from in here. And so there's a great aloneness, which is not loneliness. There is a great self-fullness, which has to do with letting go the attention to what goes on out there, knowing that even if things are going good out there, it can't make us more than we are. And even if things aren't going good out there, it can't make us less than we are. We're the same. There's this thing called who we are. It's the same, no matter how old we are, no matter if we're rich or we're poor or we're sick, there is just this thing called who we are. And the acceptance of Christ or whatever, as I was saying before, this is the acceptance that there's something about the experience of that that's the only point of being alive. But the Course in Miracles says that the vision of one world costs you the vision of the other. So by definition, if our eyes are always tuned to what's going on out there, to that extent, the Course in Miracles says, we won't notice what's going on in here. What everybody's afraid of, what the ego mind is afraid of, is that if we become too internally focused, we will become space cases. We will be kind of ditzy. We won't know how to navigate in the physical realm, in the world. Now, I can only speak for myself, but I know that until I knew these things, I did not know how to navigate in the world. I mean, I valued it. I frowned to make you think I was serious and I understood things. I wanted to navigate in the world, but I didn't have a clue. But what I've certainly experienced, and I think we all do as we do things like the Course, is that when we understand that the purpose of the world is not the world, then and only then do we find our right position within the world, because we carry a moral authority within it. We carry a sense of substance. And that's the only substance. The world can't give you substance. The world can't give you content. The world can only give you form. The world can give you style. But the stuff at the center of things, the world can't give you. And that's why the world is so frightened. Because the world is running around on the periphery of things. It's lost its center. It's lost its sense of itself. What's truly important? Because what's truly important in life can't be seen by the physical eyes or heard by the physical ears. What's really important in life are those energies within us that have to do with our goodness and our sense of purpose and our sense of meaning and our sense of some moral gist of who we are in relation to ourselves and relation to the world around us. Stuff without which a society falls apart, a family falls apart, and an individual falls apart. But what's happened, particularly in our culture, and we all know this, is that we've all become so geared outside of ourselves. And then even so many of us, you know, even the 60s and all that, even if it's those of us who know that we don't want to be too materialistic, like I said, there are all kinds of materialism. Any kind of looking to the material world as life, rather than facing that there isn't anything out there. Now, does it hurt to realize that? I mean, is it excruciating to realize that? Yes. I mean, I think it's terrible, you know, but it's the kind of pain that makes you feel like this is the pain I've been putting off, but this is good pain. There's a certain kind of pain where you know, oh, I think I must be growing. Do you know what I'm saying? As painful as this is, I think this is because I'm feeling something that I didn't want to feel, but that's really the trick of my ego mind that didn't want me to feel this, because my feeling this must be what I need, because by definition, my feeling it is growing through what this stage is that's been holding me back. And when we recognize writing the great novel isn't going to make you valuable. And if you wrote the great novel, that doesn't make you any more valuable. And not writing, you might not ever write the great novel. You always have to accept that one too. Oh no, I'll never be anybody. The issue is that you already are somebody, right? And you'll never be anymore. And that is so contrary to the thinking of the world. It is such an ego death to realize this. Because we're all thinking, what can I learn there? You know, we'll go to this lecture, we'll read this book. How can I learn how to be more? You can't be more. You already are everything. So the first thing has to be, you know, this major pain at realizing that maybe you're it right now. Maybe this is it. Maybe nothing more you could ever do could make you any better. And then you realize that the problem is not that you're not enough, but that you don't think you're not enough, that you think you're not enough. But see, God, the Course in Miracles says, doesn't look at you the way you look at you. To God, you're a perfect creation. You are already the Son of God in whom He is well pleased. It's already happened. Because God, I heard Terry Kawitiko once say, doesn't create junk. You're perfect. The only person that doesn't get it is you. And all the stuff that you think other people might be thinking or going through, all that stuff is just the games that we play with ourselves to keep us out of joy and also to keep us out of a full realization of just who we are on this earth and what we're here to do. The Course in Miracles says that we are like children playing, babies playing with scissors. We're playing with dangerous toys. And the Course in Miracles says, if the father or the mother take scissors away from a baby, the baby will cry, but still, isn't it good parenting to take the scissors away? And that's what's happening in our lives. When things that do not augment us, but these idols that would actually hurt us, are taken away and we don't get what we thought we wanted, it's the universe loving us. It's the universe saying, you're only going to use that to hide from yourself. It will not support your growth. And because I love you, I'm going to destroy that idol. And that's why the Course in Miracles says, do not bow down to idols, because if you do, you will weep each time an idol falls. You think you have to get that degree, you have to get that job, you have to have that relationship, you have to get this project done, you have to whatever. You don't, first of all, you don't need to make anything happen, the Course in Miracles says, because if it will support your growth, it's going to happen. All you have to do is be in a state of readiness for it when it comes. What a lot of people do in this culture is they're so busy trying to make things happen that when they do happen, they don't know what to do because the time that they should have been practicing, they were spent trying to make it happen. Does that make sense? It's like all the people in this culture who are so interested in being stars or something, but would have no idea what they would say if the spotlight was ever shining on them. They haven't thought about that. They're just out trying to make sure there is one or whatever. We're always trying to make it happen, working on our craft, working on our art. If you want to work on your craft, work on your art, live your life. The most authentic experience of life, the most genuine experience of our lives is the key to any craft, to any technique, to any methodology, and to any art. The rest will come. Sure, we work on the realm of form, and there's a lot of wonderful things to do. But if you're not balanced from a sense of knowing why you're doing something to begin with, then you don't have the clear place to work on the realm of form anyway. You don't really exist there from a very high place. You're confused and you're nervous and you don't really know how to do it. That's what the Course in Miracles does. It just returns us to a right relationship, a sense of who we are in relationship to ourselves, who we are in relationship to the world. Course in Miracles is not the only book that does this. But this is what spiritual paths do, psychological paths. The truth, this is what the truth does for us in whatever form the truth finds us. But the thing we all need to understand is that the world is not based on truth. So whether it's A Course in Miracles or any other path, we must make a conscious effort to completely empty our minds of truth as the world has defined it, to recognize it is the game set up to destroy our peace of mind. It is a network of consciousness, Course in Miracles says, dominated by fear. It's not just that God is love, it's that love is God. And that love is inside of us, And to the extent that we exist simply because we're here to love the world, that's truth. And any interaction in which we only exist to love the world, that's truth. And any interaction in which we recognize that they love us regardless of how they've acted, regardless of what they've said, that's truth. Everything else is this dream that has become a nightmare. And all of the elements of the dream we hang on to in each of our lives. We know it's a dream, but it still hurts because we think we need that part of the dream, or we need this part of the dream, or that part of the dream is going to make us okay, or that part of the dream is going to make us feel all right. Those are dangerous toys, of course, the miracle says, that we play with. So, in conclusion, let's say a prayer. And as all of us call to mind those things in the world which we're clinging to hope around, we're thinking, if only that would happen, I'd be happy. Right? Or something which is trying to exit, and we're just having a real hard time letting it go, because we really thought that that relationship was the source of our happiness, or that job was the source of our happiness, or whatever it is, and we know it's time to let go, and we're having a hard time. Whatever it is, whether it's past or future or just ideas we have, I'll be okay once I get that. See, can everybody see in our own individual lives? Is there anybody here who can't see where you're clinging to something? Is there anybody who's not clinging to something? And you got to cling to it because, after all, you're going to be okay once you get that. Doesn't that make sense? So it's simply a matter of saying, dear God, I know this is, feels like a risk. Feels like a risk, but I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to say, okay, I am willing to face the terrifying moments in which I consider the possibility it's never going to happen. I consider the possibility that there's nothing that I will ever be other than who I am. Okay, Lord, I'm willing to go through that moment. And I know that that moment will be painful. And yet, only in experiencing the pain of that moment can I get to the other side of it, knowing this is not such a bad place to be. And so then all the stuff that you wanted just comes naturally because you've changed your mind. Doesn't that at least intellectually make sense? Anybody have anything you want to say or ask or anything before we say the prayer? Everybody cool with it? Okay, let's take some weight off. Dear God, we've been brought up in a world which tells us that we'll be okay if, or we'll be okay when. And so we all think of the different things that we need in order to be okay. A certain person, a certain kind of relationship, certain amount of money, a certain title, a certain somebody's approval or recognition, a certain thing, a certain house, a certain car, a certain talent, a certain kind of job, whatever it is. We recognize in this moment that those thoughts burden us and they weigh us down and they do not promote our good. They keep it at bay. And we are willing in this moment to recognize that there is within us a being so great and so abundant and so complete that there is nothing this world could give which can in any way augment this being within. And we recognize that this being within is who we are. And we humbly accept our greatness. We recognize in this moment we don't need anything to make us better, and we recognize in this moment that there is nothing which can happen in this world which makes us less. There's no mistake we can make. There's no anything that can happen outside of us that can anyway take away from the glory and the magnificence of who we already are. And so, dear God, please reveal us to ourselves. When we open our eyes, let us see the world differently. Let us look not from a perception of lack, but from a perception of abundance. Let us look to others, not for what they could give to us, but with the joy and a delight of thinking all we could give to them. Let us remember how infinite our gifts are, how infinite our beauty, how infinite our power, already within us. And so now, dear God, we let go our clutching, our grasping, our clinging to anyone or anything, and ask instead for the joy of a pure and a relaxed and a peaceful acceptance of who we are and what we are, right here and right now. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.